It's Wednesday. Not that Wednesday, the other one. And you know what that means. It's time for more Probably Bad. Many thanks to our patrons, especially Scribbles and Carlo.
Hello, and welcome to the Probably Bad Podcast, a podcast which is definitely bad. I'm Pencil, and for some reason, I'm talking like this.
I'm Paper, and I'm talking normally. Today's Probably Bad RPG idea is... All Powered by the Apocalypse games have a Kindly Grandma playbook. It doesn't matter what the context is, you have a Kindly Grandma playbook. Your game can't begin until someone takes it. I feel like there are certain settings this works in and certain ones that it doesn't. Like, I love the idea of it in a Monster of the Week game as kind of like a healer character.
Yeah.
After you've defeated the Banshee or whatever, you just all go to Grandma's house and she gives you some magical cake.
So I was thinking more you go up to the Banshee and you, like, discuss its tragic past that has led to it shrieking at people so they die. And you give it a sweater and a hug, and then it becomes a decent person.
Oh, I like that. It's like, nice to get Grandma involved in your interest.
Yeah, like, all monsters just lack a good parental figure, and your job is to go and adopt them all.
I mean, that is fair, because you hear about, you know, the Bride of Frankenstein and the Son of Dracula, but you never hear about the Wolfman's Nan. The Wolfman.
Wolfman's Nan is my favourite Hammer horror movie.
Oh, I would enjoy that, but ironically, but that's just me.
But Wolfman's Nan, to be clear, is not a werewolf. She's just related to a werewolf.
She still goes by Wolfnan, though, because she's very accepting of her grandchild. Yeah.
When you get turned to a werewolf, all your, like, relatives have to change their names accordingly. Mm-hmm.
That's the real horror of being a werewolf, is the bureaucracy.
Yeah, there was a sort of a Powered Apocalypse games, you know, other lesser versions of Monster of the Week. I think Monster Hearts, because presumably in this case you're a hot teenage kindly grandmother. Monster Hearts, because presumably in Monster Hearts you are a sexy teenage kindly grandmother.
I guess that could work if you're like a vampire or something.
Hmm.
And you're doing the whole not at all creepy Twilight thing where you just keep going to high school and seducing teenagers.
Edward Cullen is just the kindliest grandmother.
Is there an option in Monster Hearts to not be one of the dating teens? Could you just be the grandmother of one of the teens?
So not canonic, not like really, but like, if we're just putting it in, you're just there as, like, you know, making sure everyone's hydrated.
Maybe you're the teacher and you just really ship these teens, so you're gonna help them out.
Ultimately, you're the teacher and you're trying desperately to get these kids to actually go to lessons.
I love the idea of an antagonist player character in a dating focused game.
Yeah, it's a dating-focused game, and there's one player who wants all these horny weirdos to stick it right back in their pants.
Is that a kind grandma, though, or is it because, like, they're really bad for each other?
Yeah, like, the kindly grandmother is like, yeah, these people are not good for each other. That vampire is 100 years old and keeps going to high school. And then they, like, stake the vampire, and that's how we get Monster of the Week in, too.
Okay.
We did do a Blades in the Dark campaign that did have a kindly grandmother in it.
We did, and my character, who was in his 30s, ended up dating her. It was great.
So we got a Monster Hearts crossover too.
I'm trying to think of other Powered by the Apocalypse games.
The trouble is there's probably too many Powered by the Apocalypse games for us to go through them all. Especially because, like, most people, we're going to start to like, oh yeah, what about in Apocalypse Keys, the seven people who've played that?
Apocalypse Grandma, though.
Yeah, actually, we did forget the original one, Powered by the Apocalypse World. The original game for Powered by the Apocalypse, and why it's called that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like in the apocalypse, you need some kindly grandmas to just make sure that everyone is eating and wearing, you know, appropriate clothing.
And imagine, the weather. A gang of grandmas, and they just go through the waste, go into a town, cook everyone a hot meal, give everyone, like, some jumpers, and then ride away back into the wilderness.
On the hunt for the mythical Werther's factory.
Hmm. The last remaining Werther's original.
The original?
Yeah, the original Werther's original.
If we can find the Werther's original, we can save the world.
There's actually only one Werther's original that's like 2 miles wide, and they just chip bits off and they put that into the Werther's originals.
And if we find it, we can prevent the apocalypse.
Yeah. That's how this world ended. We finally, like, used up the non-renewable Werther's original supply. Yeah, I feel like the other way...
It was caused by some sort of giant creature.
Mm.
Maybe you could give it the Werther's and it'll calm it down.
Giant creatures are, like, a common cause of apocalypse.
There you go.
Yeah, Doomsday, the big lads.
Doomsday, the big lads is a Call of Cthulhu World of Darkness crossover, I think, in my brain.
I like the idea that, like, they can't get the copyright for Great Old Ones, so they're calling them just the big lads.
Yeah.
Especially because the Great Old Ones are open source. They've been trying to call H.P. Lovecraft, but for some reason he's not been responding.
They're just really responsible when it comes to IP.
Yeah. All monsters can be categorized either big lads, medium lads, or small lads.
So now you sound like Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, okay, so what would... So Grandma's moves. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's got one where she gives you a nice dinner. And she gets one where she tells you how you've grown and how handsome you are.
I think she also has one where she just tuts and shakes her head, and that causes you, like...
That's her, yeah, that's her attack move.
Yeah.
She's very disappointed in you to the, like, tune of 6 harm.
That's pretty disappointed.
Yeah, I'm pretty disappointing.
Although you can negate some of that damage if you're queer.
Mm. You can negate any damage if you're queer.
That's true, that's why I was famously so powerful.
Yeah, try it, you know. If you're queer, I have bestowed upon you immortality.
The worst that could happen.
Yeah, I think... Okay, like, there must be more Powered by the Apocalypse games. Yeah, I think Blades in the Dark definitely has, like, either the grandmas are using the fact they're kindly grandmothers as a front for their heist,
or I their think is that, you know, have you ever had that conversation with an elderly relative where she's just, where they're just like, you'll never guess who's died.
Mm.
I think they can roll. And if they get high enough, they knew this ghost in life, and then they could just have a natter.
That's their special move, have a natter.
Specifically have a natter with a ghost.
Yeah. You roll connive, and if you succeed, you have a natter.
Connive?
Gosh. Was it connive was a skill? Fuck it, it's a skill now. I've just put a new skill in Blades in the Dark. I'm gonna put in another moist. That's in your game now.
It was less whether or not it's a skill in Blades of the Dark and more like, why would it be connive when that's such a tricky,
I mean,
like,
yeah,
a tricky thing to do.
All of the like Blades in the Dark stats are tricky and sinister. Like, you make a cup of tea and that's your orphan butchering stat.
I did forget about the preponderance of orphans.
Yeah.
Or urchins, like in our game, where they are orphans and urchins at the same time.
Anyway, moving on from memes that literally only 5 people in the world will get. Put an urchin in your game. Tell us how it goes. We'll see if it goes the same way as our urchins.
Maybe they could run an apple factory. An urchin orchard.
See, this is why we need a kindly grandmother who will, like, you know, chuckle indulgently.
Or possibly tilt and shake her head. Maybe then I will stop.
Yeah, I think they have, like, chuckle indulgently.
That's like a help action.
Yeah, that's their healing stat. Healing action.
But so they also have touch disapprovingly, which is their attack action.
Yeah. And, like, they put a sweater on you, and this doesn't have any mechanical effect, but you do now have a sweater on you.
Maybe it's armor.
Maybe. I knitted this sweater out of steel wool.
Oh, that sounds uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable, but it does provide armor.
You need to wear it over a regular jumper just for padding.
I think we've just reinvented chainmail, I think.
Yeah, complete with a gambeson underneath.
Yeah, chainmail was originally invented by kindly grandmothers. A little known fact.
They just knitted all of the metal together.
Like most historical inventions were created by kindly grandmothers?
Can't prove it.
Yeah.
Can't prove nothing.
Swords were originally just a lot.
That's the word.
I also can't prove it, to be fair, but. Like, swords were originally just large-scale knitting needles, and then people said, hey, you could use these to stab someone. Carts were used to truck the Werther's originals around before we invented cars and trucks and so forth.
I'm having the problem that I do possess 2, like, display swords.
Do you use them to knit?
They would be very hard to knit with, but I kind of want to try.
You know, if only archaeologists had thought to ask, like, you, an archaeologist.
The call is coming from inside the house. And it's just me yelling yarn.
This is basically what paper does on their, like, off days, as far as I know.
I mean, I was crocheting about 5 minutes before we started recording, so.
I have never crocheted in my life. And well, between us, we've done the full spectrum of human behaviour.
Move on to questions.
Paper crochets, I anti-crochet.
I think that's just frogging.
I think that sort of implies I'm stood behind you, like, uncrocheting whatever you crochet.
Yeah, you're frogging it as I go.
Yeah, I'm helpful. Anyway, questions.
I don't first have a ball of yarn, I just have an infinite loop.
It's been 17 years and neither of us are willing to back down.
Last time on Tales of Morterra.
Arson!
With cat like tread upon a prey we steal.
The sorcerer's going to try and surf on the horse.
Get dead? You want to kill me?
I'm a wizard, I've always got plans.
Tales of Morterra, an actual play podcast. Available wherever you're listening to this right now.
Anyway, our first question is anonymous. I want to run a game based on old adventure games, but I'm not sure how to do point and click in an RPG. Help. Poke your GM.
I mean, I feel like, because there's already a lot of interactions in a lot of tabletop gaming that are basically the DM being like, I don't think that works here.
Yeah.
So you're halfway there.
I think all you need to do as your GM is be, like, more insufferable. So, like, the player's like, I swing my sword, and I don't know the word swing. And they just have to go, I attack with my sword, I use my sword. Yeah. Ah, you activate your sword. Got it.
Sorry, you actually should have referred to your sword as your weapon.
Mm.
So you lose this fight. So we're going down the Sierra route then. Just like, how many times? That's a thought. Sierra games are very death heavy, and also you can soft lock it quite easily.
Mm. Yeah, what you need to do is...
Those are the main features that we would need to figure out how to
implement. Yeah, like, so you set up your puzzle, and your puzzle has exactly one solution. And if your players try anything else, their character dies.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to restart the entire campaign from session one.
Well, they don't have autosave.
Yeah.
They but need it's to okay remember... because they actually couldn't solve that puzzle anyway because they didn't pick that lock in the first room of the dungeon.
Yeah, you start them off in... Yeah, you start them off in the inn, and you don't mention that there's a box on the table unless they specifically ask, but they have to open the box to get out. They have to open the box to defeat the big bads. Every time your player says, like, help, you immediately tell them every single rule in the book.
You just read out the entire player's handbook.
Yeah.
They approach an NPC who's finished helping them with a task and they're just like, I don't want to talk to you now.
So I feel like there's probably an actual, like, actual game set in, like, Sierra logic world that you've been like isekai'd there, as you're just a normal person trying to deal with a world that runs on nonsense moon logic,
and you don't even notice straight away because the game you got isekai'd to was King's Quest.
What adventure game would I want to be isekai'd to?
The problem is, I think the answer to that is like, which one would I have the easiest time in?
Hmm. The trouble is, the only adventure game I know is Monkey Island.
I feel like being isekai'd to Loom would at least be interesting. Because if you're being isekai'd somewhere, it implies that you're the protagonist, I guess.
Hmm.
And I would like to become Bobbin Threadbare. That sounds fun.
Could be isekai'd to, like, Mist. I don't think I'd last very long, but it would at least be a pretty place. Anyway, yeah, write in with where you would be isekai'd to with the adventure game truck. Make sure not to get hit by the Adventure Time truck. That will send you somewhere completely different. Yeah, I feel like...
That one just puts you into a coma until after the Mushroom Wars.
Yeah. Which, frankly, given the current state of global politics, should only be a few weeks. In terms of implementing point and click in an RPG,
mm-hmm.
I think, okay, so the way we do it is you roll your dice and you get whatever result is, and then you have to, like, poke the dice back to your side of the table with one finger, and if the dice rolls during that time, then that's the new result.
Okay.
So, you know, you get the sort of, feeling of, ah, crap, I accidentally misclicked. It does depend on you being in person.
Unless you recreate another aspect of point-and-click games, pixel hunting. To recreate this, you send your players a really badly photocopied Where's Wally, and to find the magic items, they have to find Wally.
Like, I imagine, like, you hand them, like, a really badly, like, photocopied Where's Wally, and their result is how many Wallys they can find in 30 seconds. You've just got like hundreds of them.
Yeah, you hand them 20 for each roll, so you will get through a lot.
Yeah.
You won't find a lot of them, so that you can reuse.
I was thinking with pixel hunting, like, you have hundreds of dice, only one of which is real.
Okay, so in this scenario, you will have to invest in some sort of hologram generator.
Yeah. And you need to reach down and pick the right dice. And if you get the right dice...
Or you get a bunch of those edible dice and they have to roll the non-edible one.
Yeah, you get the dice, you pick it up, you put it in your mouth, you bite down as hard as you can. If you eat it, then you can't roll and your character automatically critically fails. If your teeth come out, then you get to roll the dice.
Perfect.
This also simulates the experience of playing a Sierra adventure game.
Mm-hmm. You've soft-locked yourself out of eating.
Yeah. I'm going to soft-lock you out of your wallet.
So our second question...
I think that was just me bugging the audience.
Oh, yeah. Why not join our Patreon? We'll only soft-lock you out of a little bit of your money.
Yeah.
But our second question is anonymous. Bad ideas for consequences for running out of spell slots. You try to cast another spell and you just explode. Or possibly implode. You know what? I'm going to go with implode. You use up all of your regular energy.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you can, like, if you don't have any spell slots, you can use your limbs instead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if it's a first level spell, then you just turn a finger into magic. And if it's a ninth level spell, it's your brain.
Okay, but actually, what if you like desperately need to cast something, but you're out of spell slots, you can use up like calories in your body. You become severely malnourished, but you sure did cast that fireball.
Yeah, I mean, there's Dark Sun where like you can use the world around you, so you can cast a spell, but it causes everything around you to sort of rot and die.
That's cool.
And thus the world has ended because people kept doing that.
That. Makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I do like the idea of like, yeah, when you run out of spell slots, there's something you can sacrifice to keep using magic.
Yeah, thinking about it, this might actually be a good idea, but I'm going with it.
Yeah, like, you know, you do an amount of damage equal to the spell level. Yeah, spell slots are like... spell slots have never really made sense in universe. They're kind of contrived. But if it's
it doesn't make sense that you'd be able to cast, say, a fourth level spell, but not a second level spell, because aren't they both using the same energies?
But yeah, if it's like the amount you can safely draw on. But we're looking at bad ideas.
We are.
More than this very cool idea.
Let's save that for a future RPG that we make.
Yeah. Or possibly a homebrew class.
Ooh.
Anyway, yes. Bad ideas. If you run out of spell slots, that's it. Like, you can regain spell slots if you're down to one or two spell slots, but if you run out of spell slots, you run out of magic forever.
Born with a certain number of spells that they can cast. It's like the theory about you're born with a certain number of heartbeats.
When I was a kid, I got told that like the average person says a million words over their life, and I got very worried that I was using them all up on useless things, so I was very quiet for quite a while before I was like, because I was like, if I only have like so many words, I don't want to spend all of them, you know, babbling about TV shows.
And now you don't watch TV.
Yeah.
That is a messed up thing to tell a child. And also, a million is so few words.
Yeah.
Well, the person wasn't just trying to shut you up.
Well, I read it in a book rather than being told it, but... Yeah, I guess I might have misremembered a number, but the point is, that is how spell slots work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do like the idea if your wizard can't regain spell slots, they start off the game with, like, 200 spell slots, and that's it. I feel there's some... Like, that's either going to lead to a very interesting game, or it's going to be absolutely awful.
I think it would be fun for a one-shot, or like a one-pager.
Yeah, like you need to calibrate how many spell slots you give the person. And I think the fighter should have sword slots, too.
Everyone has slots.
Yeah.
We're slots for slots.
I mean, maybe your spell slots like actual slots in your body, so as you use them up, there's just holes in you.
Just have action slots.
Yeah. Have inaction slots. If your character wants to not do something, they have to spend an inaction slot.
You're born with a certain number of rests you can take before you die.
Have I mean, arguably. Rest. Instead of taking lots of short rests, why not take one several year rest and get a million spell slots?
Joke, and then I forgot the name of the sleeping man.
There are many sleeping men.
Rip Van Winkle.
Oh yes, that is the sleeping man.
Yeah, you play Rip Van Winkle, who's just woken up and therefore has all of the spell slots. You never hear about what he did afterwards, it's because he became a BBEG.
Yeah. The idea of, like, the big bad evil guy is the one person in the world who actually got a good night's sleep and is using that power to destroy everything.
Just like real life.
Yeah.
I feel like we've strayed from the question, but I think you have to sacrifice something in order to regain spell slots might be it.
Yeah, that something is like game enjoyment. You can cast a spell if you make the game in some way measurably less fun to play.
Such as introducing a rule where you have to sacrifice things in order to regain a core ability.
How ironic.
So thanks for listening.
Thank you for using your spell slots on our podcast.
Thank you for using your ear slots. But yeah, like we said, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/probablybadrpgideas, where you can get access to a Discord server, homebrew content, bonus episodes, short RPGs, all sorts of fun stuff.
The meaning of life.
Only if we hit 1 million patrons, because that's one for every word that you can speak in your life. If you have a question, you can email probablybadpodcast@gmail.com or message us on Tumblr @probablybadrpgideas.
And remember to have a probably bad day.